Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Robin Brundle, Chairman of Technology Minerals. Welcome back, Robin. How's things?
Thanks very much, Phil. Yes, we're seeing some light at the end of a long tunnel now. Thank you. And very pleased to be able to send the recent RNS out, that's for sure.
Yes, obviously you're alluding to the news that Technology Minerals PLC's 49% owned battery recycling business, Recyclers Group, has received a Schedule 5 notice from the Environment Agency for your lithium iron recycling plant in Wolverhampton, West Midlands. This notice is the final stage before a license is granted, which will enable the plant to start recycling operations. Sounds like things are getting close now.
Yes, they are. So you'll know that we previously reported that the Environmental Agency went out to a consultation, which was a consultation for all of the key services such as fire, highways, health and safety executive, council, neighbours, and all, a bit like a planning application, but most people will have experienced a planning application. It's a similar type of thing. And so that process concluded just on the tip of Christmas. And pleasingly, none of the key agencies had any pushback at all. So really what this is a final round of questions, if you like, or requests for information, of which we had just over a handful of technical questions that needed to be answered. And one of them, which we knew, would be around the fire suppression and disaster recovery planning, because we had more than one option around the fire scheme. But because they're several hundreds of thousands of pounds on an industrial scale, we only wanted to do it once. So, whilst we pretty sure that we knew which one would be selected, we wanted to make sure that we get it 100% right and select right first time. We've gone out now to a third party fire inspectorate effectively to rubber stamp the proposals that we have. And as soon as we get those back, which would probably be either late PM today or certainly during tomorrow, Tuesday, we would then submit that final document to the Environmental Agency to answer their questions. And then after that process, once those questions have been satisfactorily answered, it then goes to the final license determination process, at which point we're expecting that by the EA's reference to take anywhere between 2 to 3 weeks. And then we'll see what license were issued from them, giving us the levels of tonnage we can have on site and various chemicals and so on that we can have on site at any one time. And we're up and running. And then we've obviously got to just implement the fire plan. And then we're fully up to speed then, or should be, when we get that license.
Sure. So just for listeners, this Wolverhampton plant will be the first in the UK with the capacity to recycle lithium ion batteries on an industrial scale. And I think that you alluded to in the RNS that you expect to increase the lithium ion battery recycling capacity from an estimated 8,300 tonnes in the first year to around 41,500 tonnes by 2027. Do you want to just talk us through the scale of this operation?
Yes, of course. So the first plant has been based on a single unit operating 5 days a week on a standard shift, because we wanted to make it very simple for the EA to say, you're a working day operation. But of course, the plant is designed to run 24/7, and like most plants, would probably prefer to run 24/7. So having said that, we know that the demand is there now. When we put the business plan together some 3.5 years ago now, we felt that there was going to be a gradual ramp up. But in actual fact, what's happened is a number of key things. So you'll remember from previous discussions that we've had that we can handle all five chemistries of lithium ion batteries. So that's from vaping, mobile phones, laptops, e-bikes, cars, trains, forklift trucks, and so on. So since we last spoke, there's been some statistics out that around last year alone on vapes, for example, there were enough vapes put into landfill that if we'd have recycled them in our process, would have produced around 1,200 car battery packs. So that gives you some idea of how the vaping industry in America in November, every second in November, there were 5 vaping devices put into landfill. So we've got this, this sector that we thought was going to go down the rechargeable routes has suddenly gone down to single use. And, tobacco companies that were 2 years ago selling 3 million of these rechargeable are now selling 25 million by direct comparison of batteries that are single use effectively in these vaping devices. So that tsunami has come at us much faster than we thought. We've also got the e-bike sector, which is, yeah, I think in the UK, there's just over 6,000 centres. And they're each putting sort of 20, 25 batteries into a landfill, I guess, right now, because there's nowhere else much for them to go. And they're all sitting there ready to go. We've had all sorts of companies from global OEMs, offshore energy, with thousands of tons, literally thousands and thousands of tons that stored up as pent up demand, just waiting for us to go live effectively, because the rest of the world is shut, because nobody else is processing in any volume. You can't ship your waste in lithium ion terms. You can't ship it to anywhere else because they can't take it effectively, because they've got, you know, apart from a legal landfill, there's no other credible and correct way to dispose of them. So we still sit with early to market advantage here. We don't see any competitor coming at us at all with any automated process. One or two people are starting to look to try and hand dismantle, but the economies of scale of that, you know, are quite restrictive. And certainly, you know, they won't trouble us with taking any feedstock and so on from us. So, you know, we've got a lot of pent up demand out there. And as you know, the government some time back made our company of national importance in status, and we still hold that status today. So, you know, we're not complacent. We're aware that we will have competition, of course, but we still think we've got around an 18-month head start on that, and we're going to leverage that as quickly as we possibly can.
Yeah, on that point, Robin, I mean, this has taken far too long, both from a company point of view and from government legislation, et cetera, you expect it to be well ahead of where you are now. So how do you anticipate to catch that up, or is that lost time now?
Like anything in manufacturing, Kevin, unfortunately, you know, you've got lost time there that you just can't get back. But the only saving grace for this is that the front end feedstock continues to stockpile at other people's sites, in other people's containers and so on, as we're finding out. And yeah, whilst we've got our own national collection system sitting ready to go, as you know, with our partnership with Slicker as our logistics partner, you know, we've also got an awful lot of companies that are ready to bring material to us independently of that process. So we know that once we get up and running, it will be, you know, a rapid acceleration towards continuous production and continuous efficiencies effectively. You know, we will be back on business plan very, very quickly in our opinion on the lithium ion side. And yeah, we're kind of ready for it. You know, we've had lots of samples of black mass that, you know, this product that comes off the other end, that's a black powder that's got the four key salts in them. And it's a global commodity effectively. So we've got international corporations that have had samples, and every one of them has come back and said that they would like to take 100% of whatever we produce. So we know we're not short of off-takers. We've elected to not sign any of those at the moment because we are heading towards and preferring a portal concept. So in other words, you know, because we can process all five of these different chemistries at the front end, as I've just said, obviously what we get out the back end is going to be determined by the types and the volumes that we put through the front end. So if we were batching it, it'd be easy because the offtake would be constant, of course, but we're not. We're mixing it, we're blending it at the front end. So the black mass that comes off the back end, we will simply do a dip test in it per ton bag, put an assay out to probably four or five key selected international partners, and then just have a, you know, top bid buys that bag situation on the portal. So from our point of view, we think that's going to be the best commercially for us rather than get involved in contracts. I think the only caveat to that is that we have had a lot of interest in international companies that would be potential partners to help us accelerate an international rollout, either through Europe or through the Americas or through Asia. And if an opportunity were to come along that enabled us to do that, then of course we would look at having an exclusive operation with a partner that wanted to help us upscale even more quickly. So, you know, that's all working nicely in the background, and still got political engagement, which we're pleased with. And, you know, that's helping to make sure that the black mass remains a commodity. And the government at the moment are declaring that batteries in the whole are falling into green product, which means that they're a commodity that can be brought to the UK. So a battery, a bit like you might find, I guess, in the livestock industry, has a passport effectively. And providing all of the paperwork flow for its journey is in place, we can accept battery stock here in the UK. So we are, hopefully, the government support here, trying to make the UK a destination for other people's battery waste so that we can process it here, get the commodities. And then the ultimate goal is to make sure that the UK then has a capability to separate these materials back into their constituents, thus bringing raw materials into our borders rather than having to rely on, you know, buying them in as raw extracted materials effectively.
So what is the situation then in terms of if you had to build another one of these again and get it processed and get it licensed, are we going to go through the same laborious length of time again, do you believe, or what's going to happen?
I think now that we've got, no is the answer. Sorry, the short answer, the direct answer. There's nothing worse than people talking around a point, so I didn't intend to do that. Sorry. So no is the answer. I think now that you've got to remember, this was leading, cutting edge, what we're doing here, and still remains so. So this is why we're working hand in glove with the government, with the agencies that need to be informed of, you know, the processes, the gases that come off, the potential pollutants that might come off if something went wrong, you know, and it's all very new territory for everybody. So now that we've got this first plant through this process, and you know, we've got 59 separate documents that have gone into this application, Kevin. So, and some of those documents are nearly 70 pages in length. So, you know, what we've got here isn't just a, oh, quick, you know, let's all start doing something. This really is a very serious start of a whole new technology and a whole new process here. And so what we would do, I think, now is that previously we've had to go and look for pieces of land that have already got a hazardous waste permit and then vary it to lithium ion batteries. Since we started that journey, what's actually happened is that there's been one or two very strategic zones that have been put into cities or around cities that are specifically already pre-planned for green energy waste recycling in certain areas. So what that really means is that councils have given a pre-approval just with final application details that could even take 4 or 5 months, for example, to get planning. So what it's done is that frees us up to not have to try and find existing hazardous waste sites and then negotiate. It's opened us up to an awful lot more opportunity to find buildings and pieces of land that already have got a welcome sign on them rather than, oh my goodness, what are you going to do with this? You know, so we do think, you know, that 2, 3, 4, 5 will, plants 2, 3, 4, 5 will be much smoother.
Just going back to your previous point, Robin, about the whole, you know, the manufacturers, et cetera, the Teslas of this world, and saw a news announcement a few weeks ago that Fortescue Mining's Andrew Forrest, one of the Australian billionaires, has basically invested heavily in Williams Advanced Engineering for the Formula E cars, et cetera. And then there's a reverse kind of synergy where you have Tesla as you know, wanting a supply chain of the graphite and all the masses. How long do you think it'll be before, you know, there is interest from car makers to want to have almost one of these lithium ion plants on their doorstep so that they can take the black mass straight into their manufacturing process?
It already exists, Phil. Yeah. We've got some advanced discussions with car companies. We have also priced trial runs, confidential trial runs for OEMs that want to send certain levels of material to us and have a batch so that they could see if it were to be sitting in their factories, you know, what would we be giving them back? They sure know what they're giving us, yeah, of course, because they've manufactured the batteries. So we have a number of those programs sitting in the background, you know, and there are some that have got some bizarre chemistries that may even need their own design of our plant. So they need our process, but sure, the plant itself needs to be made of slightly different materials to handle their bespoke particular proposition. So we've even got quotes out for that type of operation at the moment as well. So I can't really go into any more detail than that, but certainly it's a very good question. And to your point, there are mature discussions in the background around the point you make.
Sounds very, very encouraging.
A lot going on. a lot going on. And we have a, I can't again go into too much detail, but the we have an exciting proposition that of a way to potentially handle these vape devices going forwards as well. And we'll come out with more information on that probably in early April.
Very good. Robin Brundle, Executive Chairman of Technology Minerals, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Kevin. Good to speak as always.
Yeah, thanks, Robin.
Thanks a lot.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.